Okay, this is February 28th, 1978, and I'm interviewing Jake Wiggle at his house in Long Beach, California. Tell me what you remember about your grandparents.
Well, my grandparents, my grandfather's people came over here from Germany in a sailing boat. And I don't know where my grandmother's parents came from, where they, you know. And they lived on a farm and in Missouri. And I don't, what else do you want to know? I don't remember too much about them.
Do you know how they got from the sailboat to Missouri?
No. Nope. They come, my grandfather's folks come to Pennsylvania first, and then they come to Missouri, and they patented the land from the government, and they built a log house, and they started from scratch. There was quite a few of them in the 40s. I don't know how many. The only one I can remember that came over on the sailing boat from Germany was Uncle Felt. And he was real old when I was real small, and I just barely remember him.
What kind of farming did they do?
They raised corn and hogs, just diversified farming like Missouri. Like all the farms in Missouri, not part of Missouri.
What did their log house look like? Did you ever see it?
Yeah. It was a two, it had a kind of an attic. It had a spiral staircase. And all they had a big chest, and they had hand tools in it. And all the tools that they did work with then was hand tools. You didn't have any power saws and stuff. And they built the house out of logs to start with, and they had a fireplace that took 4-foot logs, and they cooked in there. They had a tripod with a pot, and they cooked in there too. And the fireplace was built out of limestone rock. There was a place in Missouri where they could go mine this limestone rock, and it was soft so they could work it. Then when it got in the air, it turned hard just like all other limestone. Then in later years, I don't remember the log house itself, but later they put siding on the outside, and they stripped the logs on the inside and plastered it. And the rafters up in the roof, where you go up in the attic, was made out of oak poles. And they hewed the two sides of the pole so they could nail to it and fastened it and made the rafters out of that. And the rafters, and they still had the bark on the sides. And originally, it had a clapboard roof made out of native timber. Clapboards is something like a shake, only they're different. They're 4 foot long, I think it was, and they're same on either split out like a shake. And the front porch, the doors, the front porch was a great big flat rock that moved in there. You stepped out of the door on this big rock for a porch. And there was a little draw on the side of the a little way from the house, and they built a cellar, and the drainage from the cellar run off into this draw. And that cellar was rock, was the walls were sided up with rock, and they put a rock floor in it. The people that came from Germany were good mechanics. I mean, they were the carpenters and the stonemasons and stuff were real good. They learned their trade in Germany. And they had 80 acres of land and 240s. And my grandfather was in the Civil War, and he got a pension. And with the vegetables and the, they raised their own hogs and meat and cured that. And his pension Well, they didn't have to work too much, and they had a big apple orchard, and they got along good. He rented the, I think he usually rented the land, the farmland out. And they had a cow to milk for milk.
Did they raise anything to sell?
Well, they sold chicken and eggs, but not too much, so they didn't need to. They had pension. Didn't amount to too much, but then they didn't have that much money to live on.
Did you know any of the mechanics
doing it? No, I was too small.
Did you know, like, any of their children,
my dad only had one brother, Henry, and he died. I never seen him. He had two children.
But you don't know that they taught their trade?
No, I don't know. The people that came over from Germany, the only one I ever knew was Uncle Felt, and he was real old. So these other people that came over with him that was mechanics and all that stuff had all died.
But they didn't like teach their trade to their children?
No, they was all farmers. The kids all turned out to be farmers, and they never taught trades to the kids. They just taught them how to exist in that environment. You had to learn how to farm and how to raise your own vegetables and how to butcher and cure your own meat and all that stuff because you didn't exist otherwise.
Okay, now that's one great grandson that you have. Now, which one is that?
That's my father's father.
Now, what about your other grandson?
Well, I never knew them too well. Grandma King lived in Jamesport. And we went and visited and stuff, but her husband died, my grandfather died. I never seen him on my mother's side. And she was married to a little old guy that had the agency for some Kansas City newspaper, and he had kids that distributed. And my grandmother King had money.
Where does she have money?
I don't know where she got it from, maybe from her first husband or something. I don't know how she got her money, but I think she was married two or three times. But anyway, she had a home in Germany, or in Jamesport, and she had money.
What did it mean in those days to have money?
Well, I don't know how much money she had. To have money in those days, you didn't have to have too much. If you had $10,000, that was probably as much as $1 million, or $500,000 would be today, is when you talk about people's money.
Did she have invested in something?
Yeah. I don't know what, but I think she had some rentals, and I know she had a millinery. She had a building that had a millinery store in it, but I don't know what else. I was small then.
You mentioned that your grandfather Griggle was in the Civil War. Do you know what if these people had any education, or do you know if any of them went to school? Any of your grandparents?
Oh, they all had eighth grade education, or grade school education.
Were any of them involved in politics?
No.
Any kind of community activity?
Well, there was some distant relative was Dockery that was governor of Missouri one time, but I don't know about that.
But your relatives weren't like the local?
No, there was no politics there.
And what was their religion, do you know?
Well, if they had any religion, it was Baptist, because that's where I went to the church and Sunday school.
Do you know where your parents were born?
Caleb was born in Missouri, in that area, right around that area. My dad was born in the house that I was telling you about.
And was that your mother?
I don't know.
She was born in
Jamesport? No. She was born somewhere around on the pond for my grandmother's first husband.
And he was a farmer?
Yeah. And a horse trader.
Do you know anything else about that?
No.
Do you know how your parents met each other? Or?
No.
What did they do for a living? What time you can remember?
They were farming, renting a farm and farming.
And what kind of farm was it? Where was it?
It was a small farm, diversified. My dad had a team. And he farmed and then worked out in the wintertime. He worked at a sawmill and he hauled ties and then he done plastering and cement work and carpentry. He done just most everything to make a living.
You know how many acres it was?
Well, usually the farm where you rented was 40 acres. You had a place for cattle, for cows, for milk, and you had a place for hogs, and you had a barn to store hay, and probably had a little hay growing, and you fed hogs. You sold the hogs and the calves that the cows raised, and you sold cream and eggs and chickens, and that's the way you got money there. Other than what you raised to feed on, buy clothes.
When he worked out in the winter, did he hire himself and the team out?
Yeah, if he was working with the team, but a lot of times they used to have portable sawmills. There was a lot of timber there then, and this guy'd move in this portable sawmill and he'd saw up, they'd want to clear the land to farm. And he'd sell all the timber as any good and sell the native lumber. And my dad fired the boiler, and the guy ran the sawmill, and he took the lumber off and helped put the logs on it to saw and all that stuff. There was two of them at the sawmill.
How big a house did you live in?
Well, usually a two bedroom. The places we rented that I can remember, I think one of them was a three-bedroom and the rest of them was a two-bedroom. And then my grandfather had 240 acres, and he lived on one, and my dad's brother died. And so let my dad have the one, they was going to give 40 to each one of them. So they let my dad have the 40 acres that didn't have a house on it, and they were going to live on the other one until they died, and then it would become the house and all that stuff would become my dad's brother's two children. And then we built a house and a barn on the 40 acres, and that's what farmed. And,
okay, you said before that they rented a place. Was it before or after they got
there? Well, before. After we got that 40 acres, we never rented anymore. But in the meantime, before that, when we was renting these places, before we got the farm ourselves, my dad, during World War I, he worked in Trenton in the railroad machine shops. And, then we went back to the farm. Then my grandma came, put up the money to build a store in Hickory, and we had a store in Hickory for a while. And then we had some kind of a depression. I don't remember just what it was, but prices went down, and a lot of people went broke, but we went broke in the store. So then we went back to the farm. When my dad got the farm and built the house, and we stayed there from there on until I come to California. That's as near as I remembered.
Okay. What about when you lived in Trenton? What kind of a house did you live in?
Just a regular two-bedroom house in town.
Did you have plumbing or?
Yeah. We had an indoor toilet.
What about when you lived on the farm?
In there. Didn't have no electricity, no toilet, no inside plumbing or nothing.
But you had all those things when you lived in Trenton?
Yes.
What about when you lived in Hickory?
Nothing.
When your dad had the store, did you live in Hickory?
Yes. There was a little house out from the store we rented. I don't remember who it belonged to. Maybe it was part of the land that the store was on. I don't know.
Those are all the different places you
couldn't
live and live in when you
were
here? Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah. I had two brothers and two sisters.
And were they older or younger?
My two sisters were old, two sisters and one brother was older, and I've got one brother who was younger.
What did your mother do all this time?
She worked on the farm and worked at the store and whatever we had. On a farm, when you have a diversified farm like that, everybody has a job. Everybody has to work. The kids and everybody. You get up in the morning and everybody goes out. Some of them feed the chickens and some of them feed the hogs and the rest of them milk the cows. And if it's summertime, you got to get the horses in and feed them and get ready to go out and plow or whatever you're going to do. And then in the evening when you come home, you got all the chores to do. You got milking to do, feeding. There's always work.
What were the kinds of chores that your mother did?
Help milk cows and feed there wasn't any such thing as bread. You had to bake all your own bread. You either bake biscuits or light bread or cornbread or whatever. And you didn't have any prepared food, you had to cook everything. Then the washing, you done by hand. You didn't have washing machines and canning and all kinds of stuff. So she used to do sewing for people and weave rugs, weave carpet.
Was this your family or for other people?
For herself and for other people.
How did she weave carpet?
They had a loom. My dad built a loom. And he made rag carpet. Everybody'd save all their old rags and they'd tear them in strips. And then they'd dye them different colors. They'd go out in the woods and get some kind of bark and dye stuff different colors. Then you bought warp and you put that on this loom, and then you weave old rugs on that loom out of these rags that you'd saved.
What is it
called? Warp. It's like twine. Only it's regular warp to weave carpet with. It comes in spools. It's like ordinary twine that nowadays that you tie up packages with.
Did your mother do anything else that they sold or anything?
No, other than sew for people. She made dresses for people, quilts. Well, they were always quilting. People would come and visit and they'd quilt at this woman's house and then the next they'd go someplace else and make quilts.
Did everybody in the neighborhood make dresses and quilts and rugs for
No, everybody? A lot of people couldn't sew. That's when they'd pay mother to sew for them. And she had a sewing machine. It was the only kind you done by your foot. You didn't have any electricity. You didn't have no running water. Had coal oil lamps, wood stoves.
What kind of chores did you have to do?
Well, I had usually, when I got... Well, first I used to have to feed the chickens and things like that, get in wood and help cut wood and stuff. And when I got a little bigger, well, I had to milk cows. And then when I got, and when I was real small, when we were planting corn, and the, where they cleared the land, you couldn't get in there with a regular corn planter. So you, what they call lifted the soil. My dad would run the lifter, and I come along with a horse and a one-horse drill and drill the corn in. Then we, in the summertime, we'd help put up hay, rake hay, and thin corn, and weed, and all kinds of things, everything.
Why couldn't you get in with a regular corn planter?
Because stumps in the ground. You didn't pull the stumps out. You didn't have no way to pull the stumps out. You cut them off, cut the trees down, and you went around the stumps. Then you'd take the corn stalks in the wintertime and stack them up around the stumps and burn them as much as you could and get them out of there. It took quite a long time to get them out of the field.
Then your father farmed land that had never been farmed before?
Yes.
Now, was this on his father's place, or was this on a place that he rented?
This was on some of the land that he got from his father. Then some of the places was land that we rented.
But you rented land that had never been farmed before as well.
Well, we rented sometime. I think one place we had, we helped clear it off, and then they let him farm it for nothing, clear it off. And then the most of the time, the land we rented was land that was been cleared and was didn't have stubs in it. Especially for hay, because you couldn't mow hay in a place where it had stumps in it.
When's the first time you can remember working for money?
A lady, an older lady, they never had any children, and her husband died. And I used to go over there and work for her, and I'd done all kinds of jobs. I was just a small kid, and I don't know, I got 75 cents a day, and she was real nice to me. She was a nice old lady, and I just done all kinds of odd jobs, hold a garden and help her plant garden, the farm they had what they call buckbrush that grew on it, and that stuff would just take over the place, and I'd get up in my dad's ads and cut that back, and she worked right along with me. She chewed snuff. I'll never forget that. Lizzie Hall.
Were your parents involved in did your parents go to school?
Did they
have an education?
They both had a grade school education.
Were they involved in politics or any kind
no.
of community service?
No.
Did they belong to any kind of club?
No.
Not even when they lived in town?
No, not even when they lived in town.
Did they go to church?
Some, not always, but not, they did sometimes, but not too much.
To the Baptist church?
Yes.
Yeah. What else did you do after that? How old were you when you had your first job for money?
I don't remember. I was small. I think I was going to school.
What other kinds of things did
you do? In the summertime, when they're putting up hay, somebody has to rake the hay up for the men to stack. You stack it so it wouldn't mildew and ruin. And I did that, and I got $1 a day for that. Then, I worked in the store when we had the store in Hickory, but I was pretty small then. And then when I got bigger, the guy that bought my dad out, quite a few years after that, I worked for him in the store. I tested cream and counted eggs and waited on customers and weighed chickens and done all kinds of work.
Then your dad just went bankrupt in the store. You didn't. The store.
Well, he sold out. He wasn't making any money. The price of stuff went down. It was a kind of a depression, and he just sold out. Went to the farm. He didn't go broke, I mean, but he wasn't doing any good with it.
When you were a kid, were there any minority group people around?
The only thing I can remember was two colored men, two black men. One of them lived in James Ford, and one of them lived, I don't know where he lived, but he worked on the farm help around the area where I live. And I don't know their last name. I don't remember the guy that lived in James Ford. I don't remember what they called him. But the guy that worked around us, they called him Nigger Bill. They called him that right to his face. And I used to like him because he'd tell me stories and stuff. I was just a small kid. And when they was trashing or had a lot of people putting up hay and stuff, why, he'd be working. When he worked with the gang, the other farmers would come and help you, and then you'd go help them. And wherever they was working, why, they'd cook dinner. And the wives from the other places told me they'd cook dinner and they'd all eat one place. And they used to set up a table in the other room, and Bill would eat in there. And I never could understand why Bill couldn't eat with everybody else. But it was just a custom. He accepted that, and everybody, my dad and him were real good friends. But that was a custom, and they never thought anything about it.
Did you ever ask anything?
No, I was too small. I just accepted it, but I never could understand why he couldn't eat in there. I might ask somebody, I don't know. But I don't remember what the answer was. But I can remember wondering why the Bill couldn't eat with us then. I knew he was black, but that didn't mean that to me. I was a kid. He was just another person as far as I was concerned. And he was an awful nice guy. Everybody liked him. The other one was kind of a kid on gambling. Finally came back and killed him for killed him for money, or they caught him cheating or something. I don't know what the devil was on that.
Were there any Mexicans around?
Only the ones that worked on the section, and they'd ship them in there. When they couldn't get help around there, they'd take an old boxcar that was wrecked, and the boxcar itself without the wheels, and they'd set it off on the right of way. On some ties or something, and then they'd bring in Mexicans and they'd live in, they'd work on the section on the river. That's maintenance of the track and stuff, what the section is getting at. But other than that, I never seen any Mexicans.
Did you ever know any section in
there? Yeah, there was one. They brought one in there, and that's when my dad had the store, and I was small. And his name was Vito Soto, pretty good talk. And good English, very good English. He couldn't talk very much English at all. And he bought the railroad company to stand good for his food, and he'd come down and buy food, and when he got a check in, he'd pay my dad. And he used to come down and talk to me, and I'd tell him words, what they meant and stuff, and help him with his English. And he tried to teach me Spanish, but I learned a few words, but that's all. And he wasn't very old, probably 20 years old, 25 years old, but he had a wife. I don't know if they had any kids or not. And they lived way off out there in the waiting. They were kind of very big, and they didn't have electricity, water, or nothing. They had to carry water and cool water lights and everything. Just lived in that old boxcar.
Was he there for a long time, or just a little
bit? No, he was there for a year or so. Whenever they could hire help around there, they wouldn't fool with them people. They'd hire the locals.
What happened to the section
hands
if they got somebody local?
What do you mean with it?
Would the railroad send them off to some even more remote place?
No, well, I don't know what they done with the Mexicans. But if they could get local help, I imagine they'd take the Mexicans and move them someplace else where they couldn't get help.
What else did you do in the
barracks that night? Well, the last year that I was there, I had a horse and my dad had a team. I had a horse that I drove the buggy and rode. So we decided we'd farm together. I was about 16 years old, something like that, 15 years old. So I got another horse. I borrowed the money to buy the horse. My dad signed the note. And I picked up some hornets. And him and I rented land. And I had worked and got a couple of pigs. And we had been selling them. I kept them. And bred them to raise hogs. And we raised a whole bunch of hogs, pigs. And then we farmed that year. And we had a real nice bunch of pigs in the spring of the year. And I'll never forget old Henry Willards was a guy that had a lot of land, and he ran cattle on it. And he leased his land out in the morning, and he'd take his share of the rent in corn. Then he'd feed these cattle out in the wintertime, and he'd buy young pigs like that to follow the cattle, and they'd get fat off of the corn and went through the cattle. And he'd come around there and try to buy them pigs. He offered us, I forgot what it was, but my dad and I worked all summer and raised a big crop of corn and fed those hogs out. And when we shipped them, we shipped a carload of them to Kansas City, and they topped the market. And I don't think we got as much for them as we worked all summer and raised the crop as we could have got for them when they were pigs, weighed about 40 pounds. And that broke my back about farming. And then that fall, when my sister was out here, and my mother and I, after we sold the hogs, I had enough money to come out here. And we come out here on a vacation, come out here to see my sister, because we hadn't seen her for a long time. And I'd never been out of Trenton. And when I got here and could get a job, I wouldn't go back.
Okay. I saw something that we didn't say about it. We didn't say what year you were born.
I was born November the 12th, 1905, on a farm in Grundy County, Missouri. And there was no doctor, it was a midwife. It was Molly Horton, one of our neighbors, and at that time the state didn't even keep track of births. When I got older and had to have a birth certificate, a late birth certificate, so there was no record of my birth.
Were all your brothers and sisters born at home in a similar way?
Yes.
None of them was born here in
the Lincoln
County?
No. They was all born on the farm, and they was all born with a midwife. Well, my mother used to do that. The women, quite a few women in the neighborhood would be people that could take care of that. Molly Horton was one. My mother was one. They never got anything for it. They'd go and do it.
There wasn't, like, just one woman in the neighborhood who went
and took care of it? No. There was quite a few of them that could do it.
What kind of a place was
Hickory
where your father had the store?
Well, it was 8 miles from the division between on the Rock Island, it was the Rock Island Railroad, and it was 8 miles from the division between Kansas City and Chicago. And it was a farming country, and they had a stockyard there. And they had three stores, one bank, and a blacksmith shop where they shoed horses and sharpened plows and stuff. And there was about four or five houses, and that was, and the switchboard was there. They used to have country lines out. The farmers maintained their own lines. And if they wanted to go from one district to another, well, they'd go through the switchboard. These lines all run to the switchboard.
You mean a telephone line?
Yeah. It wasn't an organized outfit. He paid so much to belong to the switchboard.
And did they have that as early as you could remember?
Yeah.
And what kind of a place was...
Well, Trenton was a division point between Kansas City and Chicago on the Rock Island, and they had a railroad shop there. And they had a coal mine there. Then they had farming all around it. And that's about all I know about it.
It was
the county seat of Grundy County.
Where was the creamery that you sold your cream to?
That was in Trenton. The Swift and Company had a creamery. They bought cream and eggs and chickens and stuff like that.
And were there any other kind of agricultural enterprises in Trenton itself? Were there people that bought everything?
Well, they bought wheat and corn and whatever. They had an elevator where they bought corn and whatever they grow out of, their oats and whatnot. They grew mostly corn and oats and not too much wheat. They grew some wheat. On the prairie at Jamesport, they grew wheat, but not too much. Wasn't too good a wheat country. More corn and oats and feed. Most of the stuff was fed out. They fed cattle and hogs, wild hogs mostly.
And so they sold their
hogs
out of Trenton?
Yeah, they shipped the hogs. There was no butcher, no packing house in Trenton. You got shipped into Kansas City or St. Joe. They had a lot of packing houses in St. Joe.
Is there anything else I should ask? Oh, I was going to ask you about Jamestown. Was it in the same county where Grandma came
in? It was in Livingston. I think it's Livingston County.
And about how far away was it?
Well, it was about 8 or 10 miles from Hickory.
And was it on the railroad?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a
division? It was more prairie country. It wasn't so much timber and stuff.
But it wasn't a division point? Like
no, that. No.
So it was just like a town.
Yeah.
It didn't have
any industry at all. It was a little bigger town because there was a lot more area around it, farming area around it. And it wasn't, around Hickory there was a lot of timber and land that wasn't farmed. But around Jamesport there was prairie country and there's a lot of farming country around there. A lot of farmers lived around there. And they grew cattle and oats and corn, all kinds of stuff, some wheat.
Is there anything else I should ask you about Missouri?
Nothing I know of.
How did you happen to come to California?
Well, she was married and her husband died and they had a baby and it died. And there wasn't nothing for no work for a woman, a young woman in that country. So she got a job with Fred Harvey. And I don't know where. I think she went to work. She went to Kansas City or someplace. Wherever there was on the Santa Fe Railroad, had Fred Harvey's all over the island. You just get off the train and eat and stop along the street.
The Santa Fe didn't come through Trenton?
No. But the first place I remember her being working for when she left home then was in New Mexico someplace. I don't know where. Albuquerque, I think. And then she transferred from there to Los Angeles. And years later, she got married, and that's when we came out and visited her.
And, okay, you took the money you had from the farm.
Yeah.
And you and your mother came out to Los Angeles?
Yeah.
And did you look for a job right away, or did you intend to come out and find a job?
No.
Or did
I
you
didn't. I figured just coming out here, we had a return ticket. I never thought that I'd get a job out here because I didn't know what it was like. I didn't have any idea. I was about 16 years old and I'd never been off of the farm, and I didn't know what I was getting into. So when I come out here, I fooled around for a while, and I started looking for something to do because I wanted some money, and I didn't have too much money. And I hadn't sold all my stuff back in Missouri, all my farming equipment. I just some of the stuff, the hogs I'd sold, stuff I still had, my horses and everything back there. So I went, the first job I got was in Belmont Shore. That there wasn't any houses or nothing there. They had, that used to be a swamp down there. So the Japs had, they hired some contractor, Japanese contractor, to dredge the land, the sand out of the ocean and pipe it in there and fill that all up and level it all off so he could build on it. And then they went in there and put big storm drains in there so they'd take care of the water. And I got a job down there on laying that storm drain. And I lasted about a week down there. And that was, there was just a stream of people quitting and coming to work. And one day, the last day I worked, I really wanted the job because I think I was getting $4 a day or something. That's more money than I ever made before in my life. And they took advantage of me. And they had a hand pump to keep the water from when they were running this pipe. And they left me on that thing, and I had both of my hands had big blisters on them. And I finally just give it up and quit. I couldn't take it. Then the next job I got was...
How did you know this was a Japanese contract?
I seen them. The Japanese was running it. They were still doing the finishing part of it when we were there. They had a barge sitting out in the ocean. And they had big tin pipe. And I don't know how they got that sand. They got that sand up in there with water somewhere on that barge out there. They took it off of the beach, off of the bottom. And they pumped it in there and filled up all these sloughs and stuff with that stuff and raised the level of that. And there was this slough, this bunch of whole bunch, piles of Japs out there running that, moving their pipe, you know, done all by hand out there, moving their pipe and stuff.
Why was there a stream of people coming to work and quitting?
Well, that's the way jobs was run then. It was a bad job and hard work, and the boss just screamed at you like a maniac, and he didn't have, the working conditions were terrible.
Was the boss Japanese?
No, that, they didn't have nothing to do with that. This was an American outfit doing putting the storm drains in. The Japanese, all they done was fill that in. They worked among themselves, and we didn't have nothing to do with them. And I started to tell you the next job at Anaheim and Ximeno, or Terminal, I can't remember which. They didn't have any sidewalks in there. There wasn't no houses in there, nothing. And I got a job for a contractor that got a contract from the city to put those sidewalks in. And I shoveled rock and concrete into a mixer and put the water in it and mixed cement by hand. Me and the Mexican fellow. And then there was a man that, the boss, that we wheeled the stuff out there and dumped it in. He put in the forms and stuff, and then he'd tamp it, and we'd help tamp it, and he finished it. I don't remember how long I worked there, but I thought, boy, I really had her made then. I got $5 a day on that job. And it was hard work, and I was only about 16 years old. But I didn't care. I wanted to work, and I wanted to make money.
Had you done work like that before?
No. Well, I'd helped my dad when he was plaster, but I never worked for wages where I had to hit the ball, $8. Then...
How come you didn't keep that job?
Well, when they finished that, I think we put... sidewalk around a city block or something like that, and then